the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It's a funny old week. AGMs of leagues already underway, the National League playoff set for this weekend. There's painted offences occurring up and down the land at non-league clubs, whilst the nation is still in a form of lockdown, and we're watching a football tournament taking a place all the way across Europe, including Azerbaijan. I'm not sure the world ever made sense, but perhaps even more so than ever, we probably need to embrace the eclectic mix that is non-league. So welcome to this week's show. Ahead of the biggest game of his life, there's a slightly more tongue-in-cheek catch-up with Hartlepool United, Dave Challoner, again, having only spoken to him just a fortnight ago. What I think is probably non-league as first. I'm sure others will tell me otherwise. If not, well, we have a non-league musical, an exclusive for the Non-League Football Show, and details of an amazing array of fan engagement projects at Whitehawk FC as we speak with their commercial manager, Kevin Miller, and one of the fans who have put together this musical project. As pre-season gets underway, we also speak with what effectively is Non-League's union, our game and CEO, Franny Duku, on the aims, objectives and benefits of membership of the organisation that aims to unite and elevate the non-league game. Plus, of course, we round up with David Richardson from the Non-League paper in a busy week for non-league. So let's get matters underway. So let's get to our first guest and an old friend of the show who was last with us, well, just 2 weeks ago, but I couldn't miss perhaps the last chance to get him back on the show as a non-league manager. After orchestrating his side's 1-0 win at Stockport County last week, he takes Hartlepool United to Ashton Gate on Sunday to face Torquay United in the National League playoff final. It's an honour and a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Hartlepool United, Mr. Dave Challoner.
Evening, how are we?
Good, Dave. Now, a massive game this weekend. So I guess the big question everybody wants to know is where will you be watching England against Scotland?
Well, I'll be at home probably. We're different week for us, on a Sunday. So be at home, and then we'll travel down Saturday, train, and then obviously look forward to what the massive weekend for us.
Yeah, and of course, yours is the biggest game, and Ashton Gate, Gary Johnson's Torquay United. We're talking Thursday evening now. As you say, the game's 2 p.m. on Sunday. Realistically, two really good sides, two very experienced managers, and all you mentioned, you always talk about these small margins, but what sort of small margins can you realistically affect between now and then for this game?
We're still, probably because of the way our weeks work, we've still got our sort of a little bit more detail to add, really. So, first part of the week for us was more recovery from Sunday. We'd ended a little bit on Wednesday towards the game. We'll do a little bit more tomorrow, probably part of our main session tomorrow, and then Saturday takes care of itself, really, in terms of a match prep. So we've still got probably the detail to go through, and it's just giving players the, I suppose, little snippets of information that might give us that, let's say, that edge, giving them as much information without going over the top in terms of what to expect, what Torquay may do, how they may set up, and alongside that, being adaptable as well, because as much as we can prepare and give them things that may have happened in the last few games or over the last few weeks for Torquay, you've got to go into the game expecting something different. But hopefully we've enough within the dressing room on the day to get us over this last big hurdle.
And I was discussing this with someone the other day. The modern day footballer and football manager now, you're almost like an American football team because you've got all these additional analysts and people to help you in that. Is it almost like difficult now for you to channel down on the important bits of information? Is that where you sort of need to use those other elements of the team to tell you exactly what you need to know?
We wish we had all those analysts. we're pretty much self-taught, and we'll take bits that that we sort of see. But it is you've got to give it, there's a fine balance between information, how you use it, and what's too much information that's, again, unrealistic. So you want to try and keep it as basic as possible whilst getting the message across, and potentially try and point out things that probably have been or reoccurred over recent games that Torquay have played in, but also point out things that have reoccurred in games that we've played in where we've got success against different teams. But it's about using what you've got and trying to come up with a plan that ultimately doesn't bombard the players with too much information that they forget that ultimately the game's played and it's a live, moving game in front of them. And all the things that we may have told them on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday lead into the game, none of it might happen on the Sunday. You've got to go ultimately to win and do what's required to win in that 90 minutes or 120 minutes, whatever it would be.
Yeah. And of course, yeah, leading your club into the Football League, that's the ultimate dream for any non-league manager. But occasion like this as well, they're all about the fans. And, you know, after such a torrid season, despite the tougher trip for fans of yours down to Bristol, that Hartlepool faithful, they've truly embraced this, haven't they? I think if your media team are putting together a documentary about it, perhaps, you know, Planes, Trains and Automobiles are sort of comes to mind, because some folks look like they're going to do anything to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only, I think, again, the only great that we've got some fans back. The only disappointment is that an occasion like this, you look at the last four teams that were left in the, I suppose, in the playoff shakeups, any two of those four that went into a final, if the final had been at Wembley in normal circumstances, you'd have had 50,000 plus probably at those games, because all four are really well supported clubs. Great that we can get a sum in, and it has been a real sort of frantic rush to get tickets. It's almost been a little bit Charlie and the Chocolate Factory looking for everyone desperate to get hold of one to hopefully be present at what will be a special day for us.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a sellout, I think, from your end. Yeah, some people were queuing overnight. So you mentioned Charlie and Chocolate Factory. You know, it's similar to, you know, like we haven't had an Apple device or something like that. People queuing outside for many years. It's in tough times, it says so much about how the fans have got behind you and the team, though.
Definitely, it just says everything you need to know about the club. Like I said, I've said previously about the football club is the town, but people's lives evolve around what goes on in that football club normally on a Saturday afternoon, and they've not had that as part of the lives, certainly in a live environment for the last 12 months. So it just reinforces really some would say crazy nature of football supporters, but especially Hartlepool fans who are desperate to do anything for the club, will, like I say, go above and beyond, and are desperate for some success, and hopefully we can deliver that for them.
Yeah, talking about the crazy situation, it's like a royal wedding as well. I mean, there's probably a few more additions coming to the Challenger wardrobe with the commemorative T-shirts, scarves and things like that.
There was all sorts, isn't there? Again, with that, it shows you put something, they put something on sale. They'll be sold out within an hour. I think everything will have gone. Because as much as, like I say, the supporters want some memorabilia or something to like I say to mark the occasion, they also recognise that any money that they fork out is ultimately going towards the football club. And like I say, I've never been part of a club where the supporters do put their hands in the pocket in, like you say, in times of real stress for some, and back the club. So hopefully, like I say, someone's got a little piece of something. The people who want to get to the game can get there, and if not, the people who are at home can watch on the TV, and we can all have something to celebrate come Sunday evening.
Yeah, and you've been to this final before with Fylde and defeat to Salford, and I remember post-match you mentioning your pride of being there and the big disappointment of seeing your kids crying in the stand with everybody else. So you're older, you're wiser, more experienced now. What's going to be the toughest pre-game team talk? Is it going to be Team Challenger or Team Hartlepool?
Again, if the situations don't change, regardless of where the game's at, the magnitude of the game, there's going to be somebody at the end or a group of people who are inconsolable, and there's going to be a group of people absolutely on a different planet in terms of the ecstasy they'll sort of feel. controlling emotions is one of those things, and I don't think it's one that's easy to do from a football club perspective. And speaking to the players, we said before in the last two games, really, you've got to harness the emotion and the adrenaline that's flooding around the ground and put that into a positive light. Again, standing on the sides and not being able to affect it massively in my position can be not great. It's even worse for supporters, and especially with the supporters that have got, a vested interest. So, obviously, my family and all the players' family will be probably sat for 90 minutes biting their nails, praying, doing all sorts of probably weird and wonderful routines that they'll think will bring us hopefully a little bit of a look to make sure that we're not the ones that are sort of disappointed at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think yourself, Gary Johnson, the two teams that are there, it's going to be a fantastic occasion, as it always is for non-league football. We wish you well, Dave, and hopefully we will speak again, whatever the result on Sunday, but best of luck at the weekend.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks a lot, mate.
And of course, we spoke with Gary Johnson, the Torquay United boss, last week. So rather than ask him the colour of his pants this weekend, here's a snippet from Wednesday's press call ahead of Sunday's final.
We're all looking forward to it very, very much. It's a final. It's a prize that you've been working for all season, some longer than others. You know, it'd been nice to have gone up automatically, but we didn't. But the lads have been working hard. They've put their full focus into doing what we need to do. No one's moaning that they've missed their holidays or anything like that. And we're all determined to get this football club to the Football League. You have to play your game first and foremost. That's what you have to do. I mean, I'm sure their manager's going to be saying, you've got to score within 30 seconds. And we'll be saying that. Do you know what I mean? So there's no secrets there. And then it's what happens on the day.
Yeah.
These games are always close
because
there's so much at stake. And then you hope that the quality of your team comes out more than the quality of the opposition, because both teams getting to this stage have got quality. Look at the two teams they've knocked out.
Yeah.
They've knocked out Stockport, we've knocked out Notts County.
Yeah.
So you've got to respect the two teams for what they've done.
Gary Johnson there, the Torquay United manager, talking on the Torquay United official YouTube channel. This Sunday looks set to be possibly the best National League playoff final yet, so do try and catch it where you can. Whatever happens, we will be sending off one more of our clubs with a proud farewell up to the Football League.
Standing up and standing tall, we won't be druv, we won't be druv. This is where football's for all, we won't be druv at all. The hawks are flying with the dove,
we won't be druv, we won't be druv.
Side by side and love with love,
we won't be druv at all.
We'll sing it till our throats are raw, we'll sing it so you can't ignore. Passion like fire, peace like dove, we won't be druv at all.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show, and that was an exclusive from the musical Whitehawk FC, the musical. A fantastic story, a brilliant lockdown project from Hawks fans Ollie Learmouth and Dick Langford, the Whitehawk Isolators. Now, I've enjoyed the full-length version, quite possibly the most uplifting half an hour of my week. It's fun, it's off the wall, it's educating about what it's like to be a non-league fan. It's also very Whitehawk. Now, traditionally, we've always loved the non-league underdog, the unfancied option, the non-fashionable cousin of the Premier League, and if ever a club has used that to their advantage, it's the East Sussex club Whitehawk of the Isthmian League. And the main protagonist, and I mean this in a very respectful and admiring way, is old friend of the show, Whitehawk commercial head honcho Kevin Miller, and I'm pleased to welcome him back to the Non-League Football Show, and also Ollie Learmouth, who's behind that song and the musical Whitehawk FC. Good evening, gents.
Hi, how are you doing?
Chaps, I'm... as you can see, I'm buzzing, actually, having listened to that. A club song, I get that, but a club musical? Ollie, is this the first that a club's ever had their own musical?
As far as I know, there aren't any other clubs, non-league or other, that have got a musical. And, Yeah, it was a very exciting and unusual project to be involved with. Dick and I, the other Whitehawk isolator, and myself have done songs for Whitehawk previously, but together with Simon Odds and Evens and Eve Plumridge, we put together this musical from an initial idea about trying to explain to people who maybe haven't been to Whitehawk what the experience is like, and the fun and the humour and the silliness, but also the serious messages of inclusivity and diversity, and we've tried to capture all those things in this with some interesting songs.
And you've done it very, very well. You mentioned the previous songs, the Christmas song. I think there's a new the walkout song, isn't there, for the club? I think is a sort of comes from your own fine hands or mind.
Yes, we are Whitehawk. Yeah, that's it came to me during the first lockdown when really nothing was going on, and we were all kind of missing football. And I approached Dick with a very basic crude idea of a song, and I'd never spoken to him before, and together remotely we put together that track, and the club jumped on board, and everyone loved it. And yes, I think the players come out to it, and it's hopefully the Whitehawk anthem. And then this project has been sort of taking that to the next level, really. I'm thrilled that you like it, because it's been an incredible amount of work and very rewarding.
What
throughout the last 4 or 5 months?
Well, the fact is, I mean, all the way you've come together through lockdown. I mean, that's an amazing thing anyway. But then during lockdown, you know, some people have been baking bread, some people have been, you know, repainting their back garden, some people have been doing jigsaws. You've written a musical. I mean, that's non-league.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about, you know, thinking outside the box.
Well, Whitehawk is a very unusual club, full of, you know, a diverse range of people and a mixture of incredible sort of talents and enthusiasm and passion. So it's one of many projects that have happened during lockdown with Whitehawk. The volunteers have been working incredibly hard, putting stuff together at the club, getting it ready for the next season. You know, there's been quizzes going on. Kev and all the team have been doing a fantastic job with all the media and marketing stuff. And yeah, it's just, it's a really exciting club to be involved with. And we put this project together just, you know, because we wanted something to do ourselves during this quiet period of being starved of any football. But also it's for all those fans and potentially fans who have never been to Whitehawk, who, you know, we want them to show that we're inclusive and that it's a welcoming place. Yes, so lots of songs. The song there is inclusive. Inclusion is the first song in the musical, which says, it says what it does on the tin. And all the songs have a very positive message and slightly tongue-in-cheek as well, because we are about having fun and singing songs in the stand, really, as well as, you know, very sort of important messages.
Yeah, and I love what you mentioned there about the fan engagement and the work that Kev and his team do there. We'll play out one of those songs, actually, at the end of this piece about volunteers, and that's always important. That's, you know, Big in my heart, and every week I think I must shout out to everybody, you know, just 10 minutes of your time every week at your non-league club goes so far.
Well, yes, at non-league level, you know, these clubs wouldn't function without volunteers and people putting aside time, and not just on match days, but, you know, throughout the week. And Whitehawk have got an incredible team who we wanted to dedicate one of the songs to. But it also applies to volunteers from all sectors, really. You know, we especially in Whitehawk area, East Brighton, there's fantastic community spirit going on and volunteer work. So it's tying in with all those people as well, not just the club. But I think that any club, any fans of any club can at non-league level can see what the volunteers bring to the table, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the wider world there. I think that song that we played at the opening there, "We Won't Be Druv," is almost based on a kind of unofficial county motto.
It is. It's a very old, centuries-old Sussex phrase. And for those that aren't familiar, "We Won't Be Druv" means we won't be told what to do, we won't be pushed around. And in our case, we're basically saying, look, we are about inclusivity and diversity and a warm welcome, no matter who you are. Come along and enjoy it. And, you know, we'll keep, you know, saying that message until everyone hears it, really. So we won't look at it in any other way. It's not a kind of, it's not an aggressive thing. It's you know, we're using it slightly tongue in cheek, but, you know, it's a positive and strong message.
And Kevin, it follows the message that you've been banging this drum and a very loud drum for a while now. But it's all about that fan engagement and just inclusivity across the whole of non-league as well as your own club.
Absolutely, and you know the fans have been incredible over lockdown. You know, when we first went into lockdown on March 23rd, we were supposed to be playing Guernsey at a home game. And we were going to have a community day for that day, and obviously we couldn't do it, and there was a lot of anxiety around and everything. So we thought that we'd create a virtual football match, and we wrote a script with a BBC script writer called Paul Hodgson, who wrote a 2.5-hour script live and played it out live on Twitter, and raised raised a couple of grand. One 50-50. One went to the 50% went to the Whitehall Food Bank, who needed it at the time, and the other went to the Guernsey Mine Charity. And from then on, really, we've been doing, as Ollie says, you know, we've been doing lockdown quizzes and pop quizzes and 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon so that we kept the kind of momentum going. And we've been doing fundraising. I mean, the fans have raised probably around £10,000 during lockdown. Some for the club, which has been great, which has given us the chance to buy a new club shop and a new PA system. Some for charity, both national and local. You know, and we've just kept that momentum going. We've even had a TV show on local TV, a podcast, which is really successful. And we've just kept that engagement going because, you know, the fans, as much as the people within the club and within all our league, we all miss it. And we all wanted to try and find a way to engage with each other and keep the friendships going. There's a Whitehawk members WhatsApp group that has been going all the way through lockdown. And, you know, we've got to know people as friends rather than just fans, and I think that's made the whole kind of Whitehawk family together, more together than ever before. You know, it's been incredible.
Yeah, I have to say that there are few that do fan engagement like yourselves, and that was obvious during lockdown, as you mentioned some of those projects there. And even before the new season, you've got a celebration of fans with your community day coming up as well.
That's right. So in February, we did a brilliant collaboration with Dulwich Hamlet, and we did a thing called Shout Out for Mental Health with former Hawks striker Danny Mills, who now plays for Dulwich. And we did a whole month of events there, and we just kept things moving. We raised another £3,000 for the local Brighton Mind and the Mind at Lambeth and Southwark. And when we got to getting ready for the season, and we thought, right, okay, so how are we going to start the season off? Are we going to just do our local county league, Premier League, county league sides? And yes, we will. But why don't we, because we've got a bit of time, and having to force the groundsmen to start work early on the pitch was a bit of a thing. But, you know, as non-league fans, no, all groundsmen are the same. We love them. But we decided to do a game on the 26th of June. And it was supposed to be, you know, 5 days after the lockdown had finished, but obviously that's changed now. But we're still going ahead with it. And we thought, well, we've made such a great friendship with Guernsey. They didn't play at all. Obviously, they couldn't travel at all anywhere. So we said, well, let's do a Hawks fans versus Guernsey fans. First game on the brand new, shiny new pitch. We'll get the first team to do some training beforehand. And the first team will stay all through the day, and we've got face painting, we've got Morris dancers, we've got community stands and stalls. We're in negotiation. I think hope we'd be able to release the information fully, but we are actually having a vaccination centre on the day as well. So there'll be a mobile vaccination unit for people who haven't been vaccinated to perhaps get vaccinated from their local area, obviously, And we think that's a first in football. And yeah, it's going to be the situation where we've got 24 players on each side. We've got the fans who are going to be in the stand cheering the fans on the pitch. And, you know, it's going to be a great day for all. We've even got our sponsors, Utilita, are doing this campaign, I don't know if you've seen it, called Football Rebooted. And they're encouraging families to send in their old football boots from, you know, from the kids that can't wear them anymore, and replace them with another pair that fit. So we've got them coming down on Saturday, on the Saturday 26th, to do that and work on that one. So it's going to be an amazing day, and it's a thank you, really. It's a thank you to all the fans that haven't, you know, asked for refunds, all the businesses that haven't asked for refunds. I mean, we only played seven home matches across the whole of 2020. And, you know, the fact that people have been waiting and have been really sort of passionate and want to do things like this, like the musical, which is incredible, for us to say thanks to them. So let's have the fans on the pitch. Let them have a game. Let's film it and put it on YouTube Live. And let the players stand in the stands and sing the songs and then clap them off at the end. And I think that would be absolutely fantastic day, and it will be a really good way of kicking off what we hope will be a long full season.
And I love it. And I please don't take this the wrong way. It's so Whitehawk. It's so out of the box. I love the way you think. You know, putting the fans actually centre field in every sense, particularly at this time.
The smell of Raljic is really strong that day.
I was going to say, Ollie. I mean, it's inspired you to do these musical projects, but it must give you a warm feeling just to be a Whitehawk fan when things like this are going on all the time.
Yeah, it's incredible. I've ceased to be shocked by some of the outrageous things that are suggested from people to do with Whitehawk. But yeah, it's amazing. I've never followed a non-league club before. I used to follow Arsenal, who I believe you may have heard of.
Well, I, as a Spurs fan, I can't mention anything. I'll have to cut you off immediately, okay. Probably. But
yeah, but supporting a non-league club is rewarding in so many different ways. You know, you feel so much closer contact with the club and with the players, and the bond in the stand. It's a completely fantastic new experience, and hopefully in the musical that we've put together. I must say at this point that, you know, the musical wasn't just me and Dick, it was Simon Odds and Evens and Eve Plumridge and the collective that have put this thing together, because there's no way that I could have done it by myself. You know, it's a Whitehawk, you know, you join hands and you do things together and you get things done, and that's what's so lovely about the Whitehawk family.
I think collective is probably, if Whitehawk had a middle name, that would probably be it, wouldn't it? But also, you're not just thinking about yourselves as well, Kevin. There's so much going on at Whitehawk, and you've got a new kit too via Hope and Glory Sportswear, who we've spoken to previously on the show, as they use recycled plastic to make your new eco kit.
That's right. They approached us, and just, you know, one of those speculative emails, or actually via LinkedIn, and he said, you know, we've been following the sort of things that you've been doing. Would you be interested in when your next kit round comes in, considering Hope and Glory? And of course, we were looking. So when we found out about the kits that were made of recycled plastic, we thought, right, let's do it. Let's just do it. And it ticks every box that we're doing. You know, we've got in the city, we've got a green council. We've got the only green MP in the country. So this ticks every box. And it was something that the fans, you know, really embraced as well. And we've not only used it for the Whitehawk FC home and away kit, but we've also incorporated it into Rainbow Rovers, which is our LGBTQ+ team, and their new kit, which has been designed by David Shrigley, is going to be on show on the 7th of August when they play the Utilita All-Stars team of ex-pros on 7th of August at Whitehawk. So, yeah, all these little things, you know, they add up to a collective. And like you said, it's all about
show how unique we are. Yeah,
yeah, and it's a thing that we all kind of embrace and love. And if we do it all together, then you know, it creates a real sort of good atmosphere. And we're, you know, off the back of this, you know, all our social media numbers are up, and we're encouraging more students to come down. You know, the city's got 50-odd thousand students. And we know for sure that Whitehawk's not in any of their brochures when they decide to come to Brighton. So we've got to encourage students to come down, and they've been embracing us and absolutely loving it. So next season, you know, there's a lot of optimism. We hope we can get bigger crowds, generate more revenue, and, you know, create a really good atmosphere for the fans, the old and new, to you know, warmly welcome Whitehawk Football Club back up the leagues.
Well, I get a lot of press releases day in, day out, and I always know that it's worth opening the press release that you get from Kevin, because you always know it's something. It's not your standard press release that comes your way, and it's always going to put a smile on your face. And the fact, I don't know if people were able to hear that in the background. Whenever I speak to Kevin, I've mentioned this to him before, there's always a seagull in the background. Now I know you're on the coast, but yeah, I'm not too far from the coast either, and the seagulls don't seem to turn up when I'm on the phone. I reckon Kevin's got one under his arm as part of the his PR push for Whitehawk.
Yeah, we have a bunch of seagulls who just stand next to me, and I just say, right guys, you ready? And we're off, and then they just, you know, get on with it.
You say that, and it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me.
I just say about the game next Saturday.
Of course,
tickets. Pay what you want. We didn't want to, you know, fleece anyone. We just went, you can pay zero, you can pay whatever you want. It's in aid of the British Heart Foundation and the Whitehawk Food Bank. We're encouraging people to bring food along to help the guys in the East Brighton community. And they can go to the Whitehawk FC website, click on tickets, and just register there. We are under COVID regulations, obviously, so there will be a limited capacity. So if people want to come along, then they're more than welcome, but get your tickets in early so that you can come and enjoy the fun.
And where can they get information about those tickets, Kevin? The website, yeah. I guess?
Yeah, just whitehawkfc.com. On the top bar, there's a little button that says tickets, and then click on tickets, and you go to the ticket site there, and there's all the details there, and you can book your tickets there.
And Ollie, the same for the musical. We've been given a little exclusive this evening for this week's show. But where can get people, you know, help you and back you and listen more about the musical?
Well, the official release is this Saturday, 3 o'clock, and people can get linked to the Bandcamp page that it will be on, and people can leave donations there, which will go towards. Supporters and something, and I don't exactly know who is the money going to. Kevin, maybe you should let Tim know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've decided on which charity or which organisation we're going to give it to.
Just put my account on there. That'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll use that for royalties. That's fine.
Once it's out, everyone can share it and just feel the love. Yeah.
Well, I think that really does come across. I'll say farewell to you both, and thank you for coming on the Non-League Football Show. We'll play out with a little snippet from Funky Volunteers, which has already got me tapping my fingers, and I think this should maybe become, you know, Non-League's anthem.
Thank you, Tim.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tim.
At the gate, Funky Volunteers, who never turns up late, Funky Volunteers, who sits in the container, Funky Volunteers, who books the entertainer, Funky.
So we've spoken with a club who are trying to do good and use non-league as a driver for more good around the world. I've got to say that it's one of the best aspects of my role here. I get to meet and talk to these people and benefit from the passionate energy they put back into the game at our level. The same is very much true of my next guest. As a player, he was never short of a bit of fiery passion. And now off the field, he's leading the way in bringing a more professional approach to the world of non-league. Always a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show CEO at our game, Mr. Francis Ducou.
Evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I'm hoping our audience know what our game does. You've been around for many a year now. We've trumpeted you in the past. You're making great inroads as well. But in a nutshell, it's all about providing those in non-league many of the benefits and insights that those in the pro game enjoy almost naturally.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's a great way to cover it. You know, we started off mainly with a focus on insurance and injury and rehab, but we've been able to build it out so much more over the last few years as opportunities have arisen and we've been able to respond to them in the right way.
Yeah, and it's not just about players either, is it? You cater for non-league people, I guess, like we do, but you do it in a slightly more beneficial way. Yeah, not everybody wants to listen to my voice. Be they players, managers, coaches, physios, clubs, chairmen, fans, there's a level of membership of our game that they can all enjoy and benefit from.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if everyone's hearing this, they do want to listen to your voice because they're here already. But we've expanded the membership again. The initial plan was around player insurance and player injury based on my experience when I got injured at Gravesend or Ebbsfleet now when I was about 22. But then as the model grew and the opportunities or the realization of, look, we can do a lot more than just look after player injuries, because for us, non-league is a big community. You know, you have people who give up so much of their time to support, to provide, free labour, to make things happen. And we're just looking at how can we bring all of this together into one place so that everyone who's in and around a non-league club can benefit from the things which are in place. It was never, it just wasn't going to remain just about the players. It just became, how can we make it, some people may use this phrase a bit glibly, but the non-league family to be pulled together in as positive and progressive a way as possible.
Now we've known each other for a long while, and I'm not ashamed, as I said, to trumpet what you've been doing, what you've achieved, where you want to take non-league as well. And we've spoken in recent weeks about getting you on the show anyway, but it seemed timely this week with pre-season kicking in, but also the media coverage and public awareness of the collapse of at the Euros of Christian Eriksen. And I know these heart scans, it's something that you've been talking about for years and trying to help introduce them at non-league level.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where for us, we realise as a club that, there are limits to what people can do. You haven't got the funding or the infrastructure of Premier League clubs, let alone, League One, League Two clubs, who, again, with great respect to them, a lot of them haven't got the money that most people seem to think they have. But at non-league, it's a different beast altogether. But the risks are all the same, So when we're looking at the heart scan issue, you've got hundreds of thousands of players who are playing at these levels. But in the main, very few of them, I should say, have access to these checks. So we put in place an option to be able to provide access and support for this. Our idea really is that there are smarter ways to be able to do it. It doesn't have to be as prohibitive as many think. For this particular example, we've started a partnership this year to further make this easier with a company called Fortress GB, major player in the sports market, dealing with top tier clubs. One of their, the senior business development managers, an old teammate of mine, used to play at Maidenhead, Steve Knott-McCare, really, really good lad. We go back 20 plus years. And we've just built out a product where players, fans, chairman, anyone involved at a club, you'll be able to convert your everyday online spend into our own Our Game economy, and we can use that economy to do good for people. And one of these things will be to be able to help to support, subsidize, and maybe depending how far people go with it, make the scans free. We've marked it out. We've got the partners in place. We've got the routes to the top tier service. And we've now also got a way that people can, at the very least, part fund it. But if they need to self-fund themselves as well, they can do as well. We've got that option available at some discounted rates, member-only rates, which we've been able to pull together. There is very little excuse, if that's the right word, for people to not pay attention to this, if this is something you're concerned about. And at the moment, people are concerned, but they should keep the concern, because it is a very, very real risk.
Yeah, and you mentioned the non-league family earlier, and this, this whole loyalty scheme, effectively, isn't it? It brings the non-league family together because we're all helping one another, and in particular, if fans are involved with their club, that they can be helping their club.
Yeah, we started this off first with, you know, the rewards which have been put in place. So we've created an economy. There's an out-game economy now in place. So people who have become an out-game member, including on our free membership, you'll be able to sample the out-game economy. And then within that economy, we've got rewards and benefits for the individual, but we've also decided to, you know, use the infrastructure model to then create rewards and benefits which can go also to the club. So, you know, the idea really for a club we're talking about is to say, engage with your fans, your community, your players as much as possible. If people use this service, they will benefit themselves, you know, to depend on what they choose. There'll be different degrees, but they'll benefit themselves, but at no extra cost to themselves as well. They can help to benefit the club. Now, if you've got a club with, you know, who's trying to be progressive and to just even just, you know, look after its players. When I say players as well, I'm not talking about just the first team, I'm talking right the way through the, you know, the system, because clubs these days, you could have 600 plus players registered to a club with the various youth teams, etc. We want to be able to bring all of them together into a centralized place and then create benefits for everybody who's involved.
And it's not just, you mentioned all the way down, all the youth teams and things like that, because it's not just benefits of football, it's benefits of just living your life.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's part of the thing which we've developed, and it has been painstakingly slow at times. You know, we've learned and gone back and then to the drawing board, we started again, but it's a whole lifestyle benefit. You know, that's the reason why it's applicable to everyone, whether you're, you know, manager, fan, player, chairman, you know, volunteer, whatever the case. It's not just about what happens on the pitch. You know, there's everyone who plays semi-pro or is involved at semi-pro has also got a big aspect of their life, which happens away from the club and the pitch. So we've been able to look at that and pull these things together to then say, you know, even if you're not worried about, you know, rehabbing from an injury, which was our first start point, even if that's not your concern, you will be doing, you know, you will be shopping at online at, you know, major brand, under food shopping, clothes, trainers, whatever the case. You will be wanting to go on holiday. You will be wanting to buy, you know, presents. You will be wanting to enjoy, you know, just do day-to-day stuff. So we've pulled all of those together into this system. So we're just saying, once you use our system to be able to do your existing living, you can benefit further. So there's something in it for you, but you can also then benefit your club as well, because then you can donate some points in this economy to your club and then help them to be on a stronger footing for the season ahead, and, you know, even for the years ahead as we look to keep building and pushing. I think COVID's been a massive reset for everybody, you know, in and out of football, but we really do believe there's a opportunity to thrive going forward if people utilise this and come together in the manner which we've designed.
Yeah, and you mentioned volunteers there, and yeah, week in, week out, I say, I've probably even said it this week, if you could even give 10 minutes of your time every week to your non-league club, what a benefit that would be to your club. But this is you basically saying, well, do what you're doing anyway, and your club can benefit.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, and it's one of these things as well, I think I'll get personally very frustrated when I see you know, GoFundMe campaigns, for example, because we know there are going to be costs which come up. You know, if a player gets injured and they suddenly need an operation, or you know, it's to cover the cost of a loan player, these are things that you know are going to happen at the start of each season. Even if you take the GoFundMe campaigns away from the player injury side of it all, you know, and you then look at, well, we want to be able to put, I don't know, a facility together. Let's say currently you have some GoFundMe campaigns for the defibrillators. You know, I've seen a few in social media where clubs are saying, look, we need to raise some money for this. Can we get these donations in? What we're saying is, doing so with our model will not only get you the money, will more than likely though get you more, because we're giving back something to the people who are donating as well. We're not just saying give, you know, or we're not saying to a club, you don't have to just say, can we have some money? And that's, you know, all well and good. We're saying, here's a smarter way to do it, because then the person donating will benefit. The person donating may then be able to donate more, but then even if they can't, which is perfectly fine, they will just be able to know that they're putting in place something which will help the club on a repeated basis rather than a one-off, you know, firefight. And that's what we're trying to, you know, emphasise as well, the sustainability to what we've designed and what we're doing. And that's the only way clubs can survive in the long term, with sustainability.
Yeah, and I'm hoping the smarter fans get that, the smarter owners of clubs get that, but also the smarter players as well. I mean, you mentioned your career as a player and the reason that this sort of came about, really, because of your own injury. And we're going into pre-season. For minutes already underway, and everybody's keen to get back to football. But you know what it's like as a player. You almost sort of are blindfolded because you're desperate to be playing football. So you don't think about the more important things. And that's where, as a player, our game can benefit them as well.
Definitely. And I mean, it's part of the, you know, we've done a lot of work over recent years with a company called Isokinetic, FIFA Medical Centre of Excellence. You know, there's 40 some odd of them in the world. And they provide us some excellent support for our members. Now, through that, we've also then become able to, you know, become more aware of the impact of what's likely to happen when people return to pre-season again now, from periods of inactivity to then going back to intense sessions without the appropriate conditioning. It's going to have an impact, and, you know, in terms of injuries, and that knowledge, that ability to help people to understand, yes, this may not be the most exciting stuff because you're not out there pinging balls into the back of the net, but it's actually essential to stop you then going on to injure yourself over, you know, with things which are avoidable. There is no straight line to say if you do this, you'll never get injured. That doesn't exist. But it's the knowledge, the preparation, the ability to say to people, actually understand there is a science behind all of this. We're working with some of the very best in the business to help you understand the science. And with that, we can help you help yourself.
So if a player, a manager, a chairman, a fan, if they want to know more, how can they get in touch?
Best way would be to email us info@ourgamefootball.com, or could give us a call 0208 166 5785, and then what me or one of the team will be able to, you know, pick up and respond. But yeah, we are ready, primed and good to go for this coming season. I think we're going to have a huge impact this year. We've had a big impact on a lot of clubs over the last few years. You know, just one particularly satisfying point, Sutton United were a club we supported extensively over the last season. You know, gone on to get promoted. We are by no means suggesting we got them promoted. Matt Gray would have a word or two to say about that for sure. But it's just, you know, people who embrace the service and the ability to use the infrastructure. You know, the benefits are clear. It's just you have to embrace it and be part of it. So, as I say, drop us a line, info@ourgamefootball.com. Any questions, and we'll be able to help move you along.
Francis, always great to speak to you. Our game is a great project, and hopefully it is. I know it's already changing non-league, but hopefully it will. The snowball's moving, and I think the timing is perfect. The timing's right. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks a lot.
So it is that time of the week again when we head on over to virtual non-league paper towers. A welcome return to the show there, senior writer Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, Dave.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good niche. I think before we started recording, I described myself as a one-away striker. It seems a strange time. It's been a busy old week in non-league. But, you know, the Euros are on. There's not real football for us to all enjoy. We've got the final game of our season this weekend. We've got the National League playoff final. Two clubs who fit the bill perfectly in terms of the roller coaster up and downs you seem to have to endure to have the backstory for promotion. It's like X Factor. You have to have that backstory. It looks set for an intriguing game on Sunday.
Yeah, it does. And I think probably sort of firstly, really, it's sort of, we're finally at the end of this season, which seems to have gone on sort of almost forever, like, in that sense. And, you know, in this sort of last two seasons, really, that have been so sort of bitty with everything that's gone on, and the disputes and arguments and various sagas over different things. It's sort of, yeah, amazing thing now that it's sort of finally coming to an end, really. And, yeah, hopefully it can can go out on a bit of a bang. It's certainly an interesting one between Torquay and Hartlepool coming up on Sunday. We probably wouldn't have perhaps expected Hartlepool to have been there. Obviously, they've sort of had to do things the hard way, winning through two games, most notably going to Stockport and winning there last weekend, which, you know, I think certainly sort of raised some eyebrows, but I don't think there's sort of any disputing their potential, their credentials, or any sort of the performances that they've put in this season, because certainly on their day, they look as good as anyone. Torquay, meanwhile, obviously finished second, runners-up to Sutton, who they pushed all the way. And they sort of had a little bit of a scare, I suppose, against Notts County last week. You know, Torquay led twice and were pegged back on both occasions, and then the game went to extra time where Torquay sort of pulled away and got through. But that was sort of very much went along with the sort of entertaining playoff games we've been seeing, really. You know, there's certainly been a shortage of entertainment. And I think for Sunday's game, even though it's a final, I think it will still be pretty dramatic between the two teams who both like to play attacking football. You know, I'd be very sort of surprised if there's only a goal or two in it, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got a feeling the only buses to be parked are going to be in the coach park outside at Ashton Gate.
Yeah, I think you're right. Both managers are. Gary Johnson and Dave Chandler are certainly not of those thoughts to play conservative football, I don't think. So, he's hoping for a good one.
Yeah. It's been a busy old week in non-league too. Despite my one-away attitude, the FA announcements on those appeals against the National League sanctions for those who refuse to play at the start of the year. And as is so often the case with FA appeals, not many winners other than the lawyers' funds.
Yeah, not many winners. 11 of the clubs who appealed had their appeals dismissed. So those fines and the suspended point deductions will remain. Obviously, Dover are probably sort of the headline of those 11 clubs. Obviously, slapped with a £40,000 fine and a 12-point deduction for next season. So they'll be starting on 12 points. The suspended points deductions for the North and South clubs only if they fall foul of the rules again. There weren't sort of many winners, really. Obviously, three clubs had their fines reduced. And also Southport was successful in their appeal over a COVID issue where they alleged to have misinformed the National League over a test, and they had been fined £2,000 for that. But their appeal was upheld by the appeal board. So I'm not sure there's sort of many surprises in that, really. All of the written reasons have been published and are interesting. Jim Palmer certainly came out with some interesting comments reacting to those. And you know, unsurprisingly, he's not happy about the decision or their reasoning either. So I don't think there's sort of anywhere for the clubs who weren't successful to go now with this. And like you say, I think perhaps the lawyers have come out on the right side of this one.
Yeah, as I say, you mentioned there, no real surprise. And I remember someone within the FA a few years back now told me, I think, that the percentage of FA appeals that are lost is somewhere around 97%. And I think, ironically, that was back when Mark Ives, who's now the general manager at the National League, was overseeing the legal affairs department at the FA. It's very difficult. Great that there's open records so we can see how those decisions are made, but it's very rare that a club wins an appeal against the FA. The lawyer in me, though, it sets an interesting precedent, because you mentioned those suspended points deductions, and you know, already we've had a couple of seasons where, you know, there's been points here, points there, and there's been, you know, points per game, how we've decided this, how we've decided that, season's finished. if one of those clubs now falls foul of the rules next year, and it, we don't know what's ahead in the season ahead, and those then point deductions come in, and then there's further points deduction, it could become a very difficult, almost mathematical paper every weekend for you guys.
Yeah, that's like we aren't sort of working out point deductions and, forms of points per game. I think we've all sort of had enough of seeing an extra column at the end of league tables and points per game in there. So, hopefully we don't get to that stage and just have a normal season where fixtures are only being postponed for waterlogged pitches.
Yeah, hopefully we won't get there, but... the Isthmian League this week did release a statement setting out what it hopes will be pushed through as an alternative competition, an alternative solution should the season be cut short again.
Yeah, that's right. The Isthmian League had their AGM. It was sort of the first of the leagues at that level. And basically, they sort of had permission to from the Alliance Committee, have been working on contingency plans across steps 1 to 6 for if the season is interrupted from August, which is obviously sensible. They tried to do it for the season we're currently in, or the season we've just had, but couldn't get it over the line before the campaign started. And obviously, some people were saying then when it did end, why was there not these contingency plans in place? I think probably as it happened, not enough games were sort of played as it were. But it's certainly sort of something that league chiefs like Nick Robinson and Mark Harris and the Southern League as well are sort of very aware of. Their clubs have sort of been hit most really by the last two seasons in the fact that they haven't had any movement. That's the same with National League South and North as well. Obviously, there was some movement at step 5 and 6 as part of the restructure. But yeah, those levels really have stagnated over the last couple of seasons. So, I mean, fingers crossed we never actually get to see these plans come into place. But of course, it's really good to have them in place and for the new season, so everyone knows where they stand heading into it, so there can't be too many arguments. It's not a done deal yet in terms of those plans. They're looking at how many percentage of games would have to be played in order to determine things like promotion and relegation. Nothing sort of in ink yet, but hopefully we get something before the new season begins around August 14th, I think it is, for step 7-4.
Yeah, and as you say, it's important that we have some sort of certainty. We know how slowly the wheels of change occur in football regulation, so it's good that it was almost seemed like an attempt to make sure that the risks of the FA are twisted to get on with it, so we do have something in place for the new season. And again, they were mentioned there the importance of the secondary spend income as well, so that crowds must be allowed at non-league football to make it viable for everybody. So it'll be interesting to see, as you say, hopefully all that's behind us, but it's good to have a structure there ready to deal with situations as they arise. Talking about situations arising, though, elsewhere we also learnt of Whiteleaf and Abingdon pulling out of the Isthmian League and Hellenic Leagues, respectively, having been unable to agree a new lease arrangement with their landlords, Irma. Now, we've spoken about Irma before on the show, and this is something we're looking at into both sides, get both sides of the stories there, and we will report back probably over the summer. But it does add further fuel to the argument. I think Tony Incenzo included this in one of his recent non-league paper columns, that more needs to be done maybe to protect non-league grounds as community assets.
Yeah, that's right. It's an interesting talking point around grounds. I think it's sort of usually considered really that, if a club doesn't own their ground or doesn't hold the responsibility
of their ground, then, you know, it's a pretty risky position to be in, because, you know, whoever the hands it is in may have other ideas and may not be totally supportive of the football club and it being there. You know, I think there's probably sort of countless sort of examples really in non-league of situations like that, where a club has had their ground sort of given up for one reason or another, really. And that's where I think sort of local councils need to recognise the work their local football clubs do in the community, and like you say, try and secure those grounds as community assets. Of course, it's not always possible if it's owners from elsewhere, and outside of the football club, it's difficult to make that happen. But, you know, I think certainly where there are cases where councils own local grounds, or if there's opportunities for them to, they should try and explore the option of taking it up. Because, like you say, I think, you know, as soon as a club loses its ownership of its ground, it's in a risky position and vulnerable for something going wrong.
As we've seen this year, there's an importance to own or have influence over your ground. You see clubs that are ground sharing, and they just don't have the same revenue streams as clubs that have got even a lease on their ground and got streams of income. And every stream of income for a non-league club, particularly in the current climate, is vital. It's interesting to see that a number of clubs, you know, making big signings, making big announcements about new players coming in and coming out. Lots of clubs making statements of intent, I guess, for the way ahead for the new season. And one of those, an interesting managerial appointment this week with Solihull Moors showing their intent with former Notts County boss Neil Arley coming in.
Yeah, that looks a really good appointment from Solihull, who obviously have been treading water a little bit since Jimmy. They decided to part ways with Jimmy Shan. And then they're sort of, yeah, just sitting out the season, really. I've got to get it in, as revealed in the non-league paper. Indeed. Neil Arley's taken over at Solihull. Admittedly, it was a little bit of a stressful wait, sort of waiting for the seal on that for a couple of weeks, but eventually it arrived. But that's a good appointment for the club. Obviously, Neil Ardley, I felt he did a good job at Notts County. He initially came in difficult circumstances, relegation to League Two, and the ownership problems really that were going on behind the scenes. He had to build a squad very quickly at Notts for the new season after they were taken over. And then ended up getting them into the playoffs, which I sort of felt really that was a really good achievement. I was perhaps a little bit surprised that they managed to do that in the first season, considering the circumstances. Mm. I think they would have liked to have been closer to the title this season. But they were still in the playoffs when the club decided to make a change. I think the football Neil Arley likes to play, it fits in with Solihull's ambitions of, you know, trying to promote youth and develop players. So I think they've got a good manager there, and very much looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Indeed. So plenty to be reported upon in this weekend's paper, but what else can we expect to read from you guys?
Yeah, loads in there this week. Obviously, we're previewing the final on Sunday between Torquay and Hartlepool. We've also got dedicated news pages from steps one right through to six with all the latest goings on, so there's loads to read in there. I've done a little club focus with a new club entering into step six, Berks County FC, who really sort of started out as a grassroots sort of junior club, but in recent years have sort of looked towards getting into the National League system and have achieved that this year. So they're very much looking forward to seeing what they can do at step six and making that jump up from the feeder leagues. And there's plenty more in there as well, which I sort of can't remember.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's
been a draining week.
It's a surprise for when you pick up your copy of the non-league paper on Sunday. Always a good read, and you know you can read the preview ahead of watching the National League final as well. David, always good to get you on the show. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Tim. Always good to get in my my brilliant sales pitch each week as well.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of our guests and for all of you for listening, wherever you may be. You can catch this weekend's National League playoff final, of course, via BT Sports if you can't be at Ashton Gate. As I mentioned, I think the previous week, the Euro's starting up as well. It means more and more venues are going to be opening up to show live football. The timing of this game, hopefully it gives you an opportunity to watch this and the Euros. And I'm sure that probably means there's plenty of football being shown at your local non-league club. If not your club, then maybe a club local to you will have something on in the clubhouse. And it's important that we do check it out and give them your support in as many ways as possible, and just get along to these events. And because non-league clubs are desperate for income in any form, particularly at this time of the close season. Now, don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. I'm there at Tim Fuel. The return of the gaffer tapes this week after a short technical delay. Do check out Monday's release with Dave Anderson talking to former CEO at AFC Wimbledon, Eric Samuelson. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.